Welcome to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Bringing you enlightened discussions with authors, creatives, innovative business and health professionals, and ordinary people living extraordinary lives. Sharing their expertise and life stories. Making a difference, one word at a time. Now here's your host, Vicki St. Clair.
And welcome, everybody. Welcome, welcome. Well, I want to begin today's show with two questions. First of all, I want to ask you, do you dare? Do you dare enough in your life? And I'm guessing if you're really honest, as you know, I am being, the answer is probably no. So what could we accomplish if we became more daring? Well, we're going to talk with somebody and who's an expert on that in just one moment. And my second question for you is, do you have trouble setting boundaries? And I'm guessing, again, like most people, that there are times when you do have trouble setting boundaries. And in the second part of today's show, we'll be joined by Washington State therapist Anne Catherine. Her new book is called Boundaries in an Overconnected World. And according to Dr. Christiane Northrup, it is a must read. I also, to end the show today, I got told off last week by a couple of listeners, and I'll tell you why in the last 10 minutes of today's show when we end by answering some listener questions. But first, we're going to talk about being daring and daring to reach for what we need, daring to allow ourselves to make mistakes, daring to build the confidence we need, and daring to stand out, with somebody who certainly has had a very daring career herself. I'm talking with Becky Blaylock. She's the former Senior Vice President and CIO of Southern Company, where she worked for 33 years before retiring in October 2011. Under her leadership, Southern Company delivered over $1 billion in new technology initiatives and was recognized as one of the 100 most innovative companies by CIO Magazine and one of the best 100 places to work in IT by Computer World Magazine. And today, Blaylock is a partner with Advisory Capital, where she provides strategic consulting. She's on the board of Computers for Youth, Emory Healthcare, the Georgia Health Sciences University, and several other boards. A busy lady. I don't think this counts as retirement, but we'll talk to Becky about this in a moment. And she also speaks regularly before large audiences. She was Women in Technology's 2011 Legacy Award winner, Energy Biz Magazine's 2009 CIO of the Year, and she's won many, many other awards too. So a very accomplished person. Becky Blaylock, welcome to the show today.
Thank you, Vicki. I'm glad to be with you.
And I should add, your latest list of accomplishments is this book I'm holding in my hand. It's called Dare, Straight Talk on Confidence, Courage, and Career for Women in Charge. So let's begin with that, Becky. Let's look at, you know, you've spent over 33 years in the business world. You certainly have not retired by many people's standards today. Why write a book now, and why this book?
You know, I felt like this book would be a way for me to reach and mentor beyond my immediate circle. In 33 years in corporate America, I learned a lot climbing up the corporate ladder. I started at the very, very bottom, not knowing anybody, not really even knowing, you know, much about the corporate world. My father was in the Air Force and my mother was a stay-at-home mom. And so I wanted to give some inspiration to people that maybe didn't go to an Ivy League school, that start at the very bottom, that you can reach the very top in a Fortune 500 company. And I wanted to share the lessons learned that I had as I was coming up the ladder, because we still don't have enough women who are breaking through the C-suite. And a number of women, you know, find themselves stuck in middle management, people that who really would like to get to that C-suite, but find it very difficult to make that next leap.
Right.
And so the book is full of, you know, the lessons that I learned coming up the ladder and some tips for things that I think can help people if they aspire to get to that ladder. The other thing is that I interviewed 28 other women who also reached the C-suite in their careers. And so it's not just my advice. It's a lot of advice from all of these other 28 different women who've achieved a lot of success as well.
Right. It's a very inspirational read. And it is all about daring. It's daring to have that courage to speak out, stand up, own ourselves. you grew up when you launched your career. I mean, women did not go into business back, you know, 30 some years ago. So what was the turning point for you, Becky? Where did you decide that, you know what, I want a career and I want to be a mom?
Well, I actually had gone to college to be a social worker, and I worked on a special project for a professor. And he said to me, he said, you know, you, and the professor worked in the marketing department, and I did it because I needed to make extra money. I was working three jobs and putting myself through school. And he told me, he said, you know, you have such a gift for math. And he said, you have an ability to really look at large volumes of data and see trends. And he said, you ought to think about majoring in business. It had never occurred to me. So then I took some business classes and found that I really liked it. Although I looked around, and I was one of only three women in the School of Business. In those days, you know, most women were in school to either be a teacher or a nurse or, you know, some other social type of work, and not in the business world. And so it was a little bit of a rarity, but I think my timing is right. You know, I look at my mother, who also went to college and had a degree in business but never worked. And a lot of that is because the same acceptance wasn't there that it was for me. The door had just begun to crack open for women in the late 70s. And I just feel like my timing was right all along the way for me to be able to achieve greater things in my career, because I not only got an opportunity to come to work in the business world, but I took some risk once I got there.
Right.
I was willing to step outside my comfort zone and go into jobs where I may not have been the technical expert, but to learn. And I feel like it's those experiences, being willing to step outside of an area where I was comfortable, that helped me be successful. And so there's really three messages in the book. The first one is that you really need to decide what it is that you want. So many times I mentored a lot of young women, and the first thing I would ask them is, what is it that you want to do? And too many times when I was mentoring a woman, she'd say, well, I don't really know. What do you think I should do? And that's something that only you can decide. And so I tell people that you really need to put a lot of thought into that, because there isn't anything today women can't do if they decide that's what they want and if they get behind it and put in place a plan. So that's really the first part of the book. Then the second part is this whole idea of being willing to step outside your comfort zone. You know, it's very difficult, in particular, for women to do that. We haven't always had the same safety nets inside organizations, so that if we did step outside and we did take on a risky assignment, somebody was mentoring and coaching us. I talk about the fact that it's very important to have people that you can call for advice, or also people who are invested in your career, so that in the event you take a risk and it doesn't work out, that they'll help you find a safe landing spot.
Right.
But taking those risks is absolutely essential, because, you know, a textbook is only going to teach you so much. Staying in the current job you're in is only going to teach you so much. What really teaches you how to get to that C-suite is taking on those high-risk assignments that give you the experience, that grow your talent and your leadership,
yeah,
and help you get there.
Definitely. And I want to talk about that a little bit more, but we do need to take a break, so I'm going to have to interrupt you there. And when we come back, you can answer that third step there. All right. Well, you're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. My guest in this segment is Becky Blaylock. Her new book is called Dare, Straight Talk on Confidence, Courage, and Career for Women in Charge. Please do stay with us. We'll be right back.
Parkinson's disease affects as many as 1 million people in the United States. At the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, it's our mission to beat this disease. To learn about the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, or if you want to help support our work, visit our website, pdf.org, or call us at 800-457-6676. In the Northwest, contact the Northwest Parkinson's Foundation at nwpf.org.
OMG! Grammar abuse is no LOL! Hire a copywriter today and make sure your business communications rise above the crowd and deliver the results you need. Call 800-495-7617 today. BTW, IMHO, copywriters rule. Call 800-495-7617. BFN!
Next week on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair, Rivi Neshima shares recipes for a sacred life based on true stories and a few miracles. Join us every Monday at noon Pacific at 3 p.m. Eastern for conversations that lift and inspire with guest experts who walk their talk, and find more than 300 free podcasts at conversationslive.net.
Hi, this is Vicki St. Clair with Conversations Live. If you'd like to gain more exposure for your business, service, or event, or if you'd like to raise awareness for an issue or topic you're passionate about, call me. Let's talk about ways we might partner to shine the spotlight on you and bring you the recognition you deserve. Call me at 800-495-7617. That's 800-495-7617. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Making a difference, one word at a time.
Conscious living for conscious people. Alternative Talk 1150.
Welcome back, everyone. We are listening to, you are listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. My guest in this segment is Becky Blaylock. Her new book is called Dare, and it's all about straight talk on confidence, courage, and career for women in charge. And Becky interviewed 28 plus women who were at the top of their field. I mean, we're talking, you know, people in Turner Television Network and all kinds of major positions who are making a difference and making a big dent in that C-suite. And you were talking about the three parts of the book and how this is all put together. So, and I had to interrupt you, Becky. So let's quickly share the third one. And then I have a couple of questions that I want to throw back at you.
The third part of the book is all about giving back. You know, as women who once you do reach a certain amount of success in your career, very important to reach out and give back. And even women that are early in their career in corporate America, a lot of times I would mentor somebody and first thing I would say is, you know, what do you want to do? And then who are you mentoring? And too many times they would say, well, I'm not high enough up the corporate ladder to mentor. And there are many opportunities to mentor in your community beyond just being in your corporation. And that if we're going to close the gaps on women in leadership in corporate America, it really has to come from all of us. Reaching out and doing a better job, men and women, being willing to mentor and support that next generation that are coming into the workforce.
Right.
Now, so that's the third message.
Very good. And it is a very strong message. I mean, that comes across very clearly that you believe strongly in giving back. I mean, this is how you're spending your retirement.
Absolutely.
But I mean, you know, what a gift to people that you are working with because of all the experience you've had and all the lessons you've learned along the way. And you asked these women leaders that you talked with the same question, and they're fairly typical of the kind of questions that I normally ask guests. So I'm going to throw a couple of them back at you. And one of them, of course, I think is, you know, what's the biggest mistake you've ever made? Because we always have a major learning point at some point with the biggest mistake we've ever made.
Right. And, you know, In interviewing these women, many of them said that they did not have regrets about anything that they'd done. What they regretted sometimes was maybe how they did things, not what they did, but how they did them.
Because right.
Sometimes when you, you know, say something in haste, you can never take those words back. And the other thing I thought was pretty interesting is a number of them talked about the fact that they did not fire somebody fast enough. And I think that plays to the fact that women are so focused on being liked that sometimes it's hard for us to do the really tough things, and that they, you know, coached and mentored and held on to somebody, you know, that just about derailed their whole team, and that in hindsight, if they'd had, you know, could go back and change something, they would have moved faster mm-hmm. to fire those people that were on their team.
I think that is a critical point, because if I think back, you know, to my management days, my biggest mistakes were giving somebody the benefit of the doubt one too many times, if you will.
Right. And, you know, I think it's always good to be kind and try to help and support people and try to bring them around. But there are times when somebody's just not a team player and they need to go.
Yeah.
And I do think that those are the most difficult things that we deal with in the corporate world. I mean, sometimes people would say, what keeps you up at night? And I think, well, it's nothing technology-wise. It's generally always the human resource side of the business that's the toughest. Those are the things that you'll lose sleep over.
Right.
And, many of these women talked about that.
Yeah. When you became CIO, I mean, Chief Information Officer, you had no experience. You weren't a technical kind of person, yet you say that was the biggest learning curve for you and the best learning curve. How so?
Well, it's interesting. I share this story in the book, and this is true. I took this job, and I knew that it was really much more about my leadership and about figuring out how we used information technology to transform the business than it was about the technology itself. And there was a young woman who I had worked with when I was in accounting, and then she came over to IT when I was named the CIO. 6 months after being there, I bumped into her somewhere, and she said, you know, she said, I like working with you a lot better. She said, I think you're a much better leader in IT than you were in accounting. And I said, how can you say that? I said, on any given day, I feel like I've got so much more that I need to learn over here, and I felt like I was an expert. And she said, that was the problem. She said, when you were in accounting, you developed many of the processes that we had. She said, you were the technical expertise, and there was a real tendency for you to come and micromanage the people that reported to you.
Mm-hmm.
She said, here, you know what needs to be done. You trust us to get the work done, and you are truly leading. And that was very eye-opening to me, because for the first time I realized, it was a real wake-up call, that maybe this was really, you know, a great developmental move for me, because I realized that it was who I surrounded myself with and how I was getting the resources for them to get the work done and figuring out what it was that needed to be done and not executing on that.
Right,
that
right.
That has been such an important part of my success. And that really is what leadership is about. The higher up the ladder you go, the less the job is about you and the more it is about who you surround yourself with.
Right.
That's why diversity is important. If you don't know a lot about marketing, you better have somebody on your team who does.
Right.
If you don't know a lot about finance, you better have somebody on your team who does. Because we live in an era now where nobody can know it all. Things are changing too fast. So it's all about who you surround yourself with and how you empower those people to go off and execute on the work that needs to be done and making sure that you have them pointed in the right direction, because that's what leadership is about.
Absolutely.
And
one of the questions I wanted to ask you, you talked mm-hmm. with Molly Burke, who actually was here in Seattle. She had a partnership in a law firm, and she moved to Connecticut. And she said, one of the things she said was, I realize that challenge energizes me and that it is when it's absent, I don't do my best work. And I think that's true probably for many people. And maybe some people just don't key in on that, because I know when I'm frustrated or bored, you know I'm not doing my best work. It's when I'm challenged. So talk to us a little bit about seeking challenge, if you will, and how these women take on challenge, have the courage to do that.
Yeah, well, you know, everybody, I think, feels a certain amount of intimidation when you go into a new job. But there are people, and I happen to be one of them, and Molly is too, who we grow the most when we feel personally at risk. We're that much more determined that we're going to learn and succeed. And it doesn't shut us down. And one of the things that I've tried to do in my book is spend a lot of time talking to women about building their confidence. Because public speaking and leadership are learned skills, and so is confidence. Nothing builds your confidence more than acting. You know, the worst thing that can happen is analysis paralysis, where you just constantly talk yourself out of doing something. Even if you fail, the important thing is to embrace that and learn from it, and not to let it absolutely shut you down. And that if you want to be really confident, what you need to do is find other people who are confident
mm-hmm.
and go hang out with them. If you want to be a better tennis player, you go play tennis with somebody who's better than you are. Confidence is the same way. And, you know, we as human beings are programmed to be very negative. And that comes from thousands of years of, you know, genetic programming where you didn't want to stick your hand over a candle. You wanted to remember that it would burn your hand. But we remember negative experiences more positive ones. And we constantly have these communications with ourselves where basically it's one warning after another. And we so overestimate the consequences of failure.
Right, right.
But if you don't constantly push outside of that comfort comfort zone and build your confidence, then it begins to shrink.
Right. I think that's such a key point. And I was talking with a young woman a few weeks ago who's lost her confidence because she's a mom and she wants to be a mom. But she's, you know, with her two little kids all day, and she's said she's just lost her confidence. And I was trying to tell her that you can't wait until it comes back. You've got to just start doing things incrementally, and your confidence will develop as you start accomplishing things.
Absolutely. One of the things I write about in the book is this whole idea of the imposter syndrome. And many, many very successful people suffer with that. They say at some point in time, at least 70% of the population has suffered with imposter syndrome. And what you have to do is just act anyway. Embrace the fact that that you're trying something new and that it's scary. But you know what? If you fail, you just learn from it and get back up and try again. There's a psychiatrist who's validated a lot of the thought in my book. His name is Peter Buckley, and he's the head of psychiatry for Georgia Regents University. And Peter says that literally it's these experiences that grow your confidence. And what doesn't kill you does make you stronger. So he says that when people get knocked down, it's so important that they just get right back up.
Right.
He says, because, you know, you don't fail if you get knocked down and get back up. When you fail, you get knocked down and you stay down.
Right.
You just can't let yourself stay down.
Right. Your book is just full of really great advice on that. And I think for anybody who, anybody in their career, you know, at whatever point there are, there's a lot of really interesting information here. And I know, Becky, on your website, you've actually put PDFs of the interviews that you did with some of the women that you interviewed who are, Genevieve Boss, for one, Veronica Sheehan, Susan Grant, you put those interviews up on your website for people. So very quickly, a final thought that you'd like to leave our listeners with today.
Well, just this whole idea that confidence is learned, and that if there's a goal in mind that you want, that you're unstoppable if you put it down in writing, because your brain, two-thirds of your brain function is tied to vision, so write it down. Writing it down is the first step to making it happen. And then put together a plan to make it happen, and surround yourself with positive people. You have negative people in your network telling you something can't be done. Eliminate those people. Mm-hmm. Get people in your network who are much more positive, because there isn't anything you can't do if you put your mind to it and if you're willing to step out of that comfort zone and challenge yourself to grow.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for being with us. Thank you for, you know, the work you're doing with young women in mentoring them, and for this book, which I think is really useful. It's called Dare, Straight Talk on Confidence, Courage, and Career for Women in Charge. Did you get that last bit? For Women in Charge. I love it. And you can find out more about Becky Blaylock's book and her work. And again, the interviews are up there, and her blog is up there with articles too, at BeckyBlaylock.com, BeckyBlaylock.com. And please do stay with us. We'll be right back with Washington therapist Anne Catherine. You are listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Stand a little taller. Doesn't mean I'm lonely when I'm alone. What doesn't kill you makes you fighter. Footsteps even lighter. Doesn't mean I'm over, 'cause you're gone. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Hi, this is Vicki St. Clair. If you have a business, service, or event and would like to deliver your message to a large audience, call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine the spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to Anti-Icky Poo, we cover the world of animals. This week, November 17th, it's a Kevin and Kim Sunday. Always entertaining, Kevin McDonald and Kim Miller, medium and animal intuitive, will host the show for me. They'll talk with Dr. Bill Burlingame about the best immune system support for your cat and dog friends, then open phone lines so Kim can help you connect with your animal or human loved ones on this side or the other. Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 11.
At Sundown Communications, we find that most of our clients are brilliant at what they do, but they lack the time and resources to write and create business messaging that delivers results. That's where we come in, providing a diverse range of professional copywriting services for fresh strategic web content, PR, advertising and promotion, marketing, speeches, and much more. Call us today so you can focus on what you do best, and we'll do the rest. Call 800-495-7617. That's 800-495-7617.
If you served honorably in our nation's armed forces and you're looking for a way to continue serving your fellow veterans in your community, then join AMVETS. Each year, AMVETS members volunteer millions of hours at VA healthcare facilities from coast to coast, helping to improve the lives of their fellow veterans through the VA Voluntary Services Program. AMVETS posts and departments also participate in a wide variety of community service projects, ranging from Americanism in our schools to supporting the Special Olympics and Boy Scouts of America. If you no longer wear the uniform today, you can still serve through the AMVETS by joining today at AMVETS.org.
Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair has a new Facebook page, so you can see what's happening on our show and what we're up to between shows. Like us on Facebook and look out for upcoming contest drawings.
The new mainstream of talk radio. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Stand a little taller.
And welcome back, everyone. I just love that music. I need to get that on my new iPod. So in the first segment, we were talking about Becky Blaylock's new book, Dare. And I think we all benefit from being more daring. I certainly know in my life that when I've been bolder and more bodacious, things have gone, things have worked out in my favor. So I think it's a good lesson for all of us. I'm very pleased to have with us now Washington therapist Anne Catherine. She was actually a pioneer in the world of setting boundaries way back when. I'll let her tell you a little bit more about that in just a moment. But she specializes in helping people with boundaries, eating disorders, and food addictions. And she wrote the first simple book on boundaries, which is called Boundaries, Where You End and I Begin. Quite a while ago, it was about 20 years ago, I think. Well, we'll double check on that with her too, before most people had even heard of the word boundaries. So she holds an MA in psychology from Vanderbilt University, has over 40 years experience as a therapist in agencies, hospitals and private practice, and has been interviewed on many leading media outlets, including CNN, Headline News, National Public Radio and Lifetime. And her website is AnneCatherine.com. Anne Catherine, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Vicki. I'm glad to be here. I've started to feel impressed with myself the more you talk.
Don't you love that? Well, I should say your new book is called Boundaries in an Overconnected World, Setting Limits to Preserve Your Focus, Privacy, Relationships, and Sanity. And I think this is a more than timely book, because more and more people seem to be distracted and seem to have no boundaries anymore. But I wanted, before we get here, just talk a little bit about the work you really were quite pioneering in when you started working in boundaries. How did you become interested in that so many years ago?
I just backed into it. I had a client who had been abused rather badly as a child by her father. And I simply couldn't get this concept across to her, so I wrote a 50-page pamphlet to help her understand that she had the power to set limits for herself. And I just casually mentioned it to my editor at my publisher, and he said, "Send me 150 more pages immediately." And I said, "I don't know any more than that. I wrote everything I know." He said, "Well, figure it out." So I did. And I've been figuring it out ever since.
And it's led to a very long career in this topic. I know you work with people with food addictions, and boundaries filter over into that too, right?
They actually are so important for every aspect of our lives.
Just elaborate a little on that, if you would, for us.
Well, what a boundary is a limit that protects integrity. And that could be of any entity. So you are an entity. I'm an entity. Me and my best friend, me and my sister. I'm saying that with poor English, sorry. But with every human relationship any of us has is an entity. And it could be consisting of two people or 40 people or Washington State. Each of those are entities. So what a boundary. A boundary has several characteristics, which I've, of course, listed in my new book, but one of which is the filtering of information and energy across the limit of the entity. So if the limit is too thick and too opaque, then less energy and information crosses it,
mm-hmm.
both going in and going out.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other hand, if it's got holes in it, then too much information is leaked out, too much energy is lost,
right.
going both directions.
Right. And I think when I was looking at this book, I thought about, relationships that I've had over the years, whether they were work relationships, whether they were, with neighbors or, friends, associates, families. And nearly, I haven't had that many issues, but there was always a boundary issue somewhere in there. I can think back to a situation I had with a neighbor many years ago who had the thought that what's his was his and what was mine was also his. It's a very big boundary issue,
yes.
and very difficult to work out. So let's look at some specifics and how we can start applying boundaries in our life and where we should be applying boundaries in our life. And one of the places I wanted to start was in the workforce, because, I work with many different kinds of clients a lot in the software technology industry. And, even if they're not cutting edge industries, they seem to expect people to be on and plugged in 24/7. And I'll give you a very specific example, Anne, and maybe you can, address how this could have been handled differently. I had a friend who was a dean at a college, and she was told, you need to leave your phone on 24/7. And my friend said to her boss, well, look, I keep getting these stupid text messages and things come in the middle of the night, it wakes me up. And so her boss's solution to that was, okay, then you need to set your alarm for 4:30, get up and turn on your phone so you can take emergency calls in the morning. And, my friend is dead now. And I wonder, if she knew she was going to die so quickly, if she'd have had a different response to her boss. So tell us, in that kind of situation, how you advise people to respond.
In that situation, I'd say, all right, now, I understand I'm to work 40 hours a week. So if my work starts at 4:30, does that mean that I get to go home at 12:30 or 1 p.m.? And if that is not what is meant, then one could negotiate overtime. But, of course, what you really want is to not get up at 4:30. So bringing up something like that would be a way to communicate that this is outside the boundary of appropriate work hours and an appropriate work expectation. Unfortunately, in this kind of economy, bosses feel like they can get away with more if they're not reasonable and just. And there are really great bosses and there are some really bad ones too.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're negotiating with a boss to set a boundary, think about what would be in the boss's best interest. The quantity of work product or quality of work product, such as if I get up at 4:30, come to the school, work till 5 in the afternoon, I know that I will not be giving my best in the afternoon. Can we do this once a week? Give me the Friday afternoon off. What can we do that will balance this out so that the boundaries are appropriate around my job? So with many people, you can just set a firm boundary. With an employer, it has to be a negotiation most of the time.
Yeah, it definitely does today in today's society, because honestly, there's no such thing as a 40-hour week anymore unless somebody's paid hourly. I see people who are just afraid to not be visible, people who are afraid not to come into the office, even though they have a work at home policy, or they're afraid to take, 2 weeks vacation. So they'll split it up into 3 days here and 3 days there. it is a very difficult situation. You know, another situation that I see a lot of, I am one of those people who can turn off my cell phone, and I profess I do not feel guilty about it. That's what voicemail is for. But you know, you talk in the book of, you know, people at funerals paying more attention to their apps than they are to what's going on. And so how do we, you know, it crosses that intimacy boundary, and it stops people having the level of intimacy. I just had my brother with me for 2 weeks, and one of my challenges was, I hope your phone doesn't work when you're here, because I know he's one of those people, he is obsessed with his phone. He sleeps with his phone. And so, and I was pleased to say that he did manage to stay off his phone a lot while he was here. But it
good
does
for you.
It does,
you set a boundary with him.
it does cross that intimacy barrier somehow. So how do we work with somebody if we're in a relationship with them, if we're living with them, working with them, and we feel that we're not having that connection that we need because they're, you know, constantly looking at their phone or whatever it is they're playing with?
There are maybe 1,000 issues that have been created, or maybe that's an underestimation, that have been created by the increased use of the internet and digital devices. And the answer to most of these is to set boundaries. For example, in the situation you're talking about, if it's a friend or a relative, or it's a particular kind of situation where, like a funeral or a wedding, where being texting and being on the phone is wildly inappropriate, tell that person you value your time with them. You'd like to know about them, what they've been thinking and doing lately, and you care about your relationship growing. Would they be willing to turn off their phones?
And the answer often is no.
Then that tells you something important about the potential of that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It can only go so far, and now you have to think about, do you want to put any time into a relationship that is already destined to be limited? Or do you want to let this one go and find somebody who wants to be person to person?
Right. So let's turn this around then. Let's look at why people get addicted to their phones. Because we're told, you know, study after study is coming out and saying you should not be multitasking. You know, we used to pat ourselves on the back and say, oh, I'm great at multitasking. Now we're being told that is ineffective. You are far less productive. You'll have far less creativity. The end result will just not be as good if you are multitasking. And so why do we get addicted? Why do people get this need for feeling that they have to be connected 24/7?
The brain actually changes when you pursue a rewarding activity over and over again. Addictive chemicals at the base of the back of your brain build up, and then the time comes when you start craving those chemicals, and you already know how to make that happen. All you have to do is do whatever you've been doing too much of, and you can get more. So these are pleasure-giving chemicals. They're very powerful.
Yeah.
And the brain starts retraining itself. For example, if you're multitasking and therefore not thinking deeply, not focusing, then the brain will rewire and rechemical to support that activity. So we have to actually deliberately break the pattern, and it won't be comfortable, because even if you're mildly addictive, if you're addictive to anything, the way it happens is through chemicals in your brain. So when those chemicals get disrupted, they fight back. That's what withdrawal is all about. So it takes a deliberate decision, a willingness to be uncomfortable for a while, and a substitution of other activities that will reverse the direction your brain is going. This is part of my concern for children, that during the years when their brains are especially plastic, especially teenagers, it's a really important brain development years, they're teaching themselves to be shallow in relationships, in thinking, in awareness of the world. So they're actually directing their future path without mm-hmm. realizing it. Because mm-hmm. you can't really beat anatomy. The chemicals always win in the long run. If you try to hold your breath, you can't do it. The chemicals will always overrule holding your breath to a dangerous level.
You have a lot of solutions in the book. It's called Boundaries in an Overconnected World. It's about setting limits to preserve your focus, privacy, relationships, and sanity. And studies are showing that, you know, our addiction to our phones and our tablets, et cetera, our Xboxes, studies are showing that, you know, we're seeing rapidly increasing levels in ADHD and ADD.
Yeah.
So I want to just ask you a final thought that you'd like to leave our listeners with today, Anne.
I'd like to say you can reverse all of this, and the book tells you how. It gives you so many resources to use to get your family back in touch with each other, to help your children become able to have person-to-person relationships, and to preserve your own time, your own energy for what matters the absolute most to you.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree. If you have issues within your family, you know, getting them connected and disconnected so they can reconnect, this is a really good book. Boundaries in an Overconnected World by Anne Catherine. Anne Catherine, thanks so much for being with us. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Vicky. It's been a pleasure.
And you can find out more information about Anne's work at annecatherine.com. And please do stay with us. We'll be right back. You are listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair.
So freely, you curse my plans. The country's Nazi insults. So far advanced, but me, I saw you go.
Hi, this is Vicky St. Clair with Conversations Live. If you'd like to gain more exposure for your business, service, or event, or if you'd like to raise awareness for an issue or topic you're passionate about, call me. Let's talk about ways we might partner to shine the spotlight on you and bring you the recognition you deserve. Call me at 800-495-7617. That's 800-495-7617.
Do something different with your spare time. Give baby animals at Paws a fresh start. With the assistance of caring volunteers, Paws helps hundreds of orphaned and sick kittens and puppies each year. Join us and save lives. Become a Paws foster care volunteer. For more information, visit paws.org or 425-787-2500. Paws.org or 425-787-2500.
Next week on Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair, Rivi Neshima shares recipes for a sacred life based on true stories and a few miracles. Join us every Monday at noon Pacific at 3 p.m. Eastern for conversations that lift and inspire with guest experts who walk their talk, and find more than 300 free podcasts at conversationslive.net.
Thanks for listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. Join us live every Monday at noon on Alternative Talk 1150 or stream live from conversationslive.net.
Radio for your body, mind, and spirit. Alternative Talk 1150.
And you still can't find the phone. And my hair is getting thin. And I have to close the phone. And you still can't find the phone.
And welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. And I mentioned at the top of the hour, I got chastised by a couple of listeners who said I didn't mention that, you know, what was happening the last week my brother was here. And so very quickly, I'm going to tell you that we just had a great time. And I want to ask Eric, have you ever been to Point Defiance Zoo?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Wonderful zoo.
It is fantastic.
And aquarium there as well. And I understand they have a new swim with the sharks tank.
They do. I saw a little girl in there and she was ecstatic because I took my brother you know, the last week we just kind of tried to cram in as much as possible the places we hadn't been and everything, but we did a lot in those 2 weeks.
It sounds like
you,
it.
You know, but I think it was the Thursday before he went back on Friday, right? Mm-hmm. It was kind of overcast and drizzly and just really miserable. And he said, let's just go for a long walk on the beach. So we went down to Point Defiance and he saw the sign for the zoo. And I said, yeah, but it's just a small zoo. And I was not expecting it to be as wonderful as it was. There were barely the two of us in the zoo because it was such a horrible day. Mm. But we had a fantastic experience. And one of the areas we loved the most, says a lot about our family, was the children's section.
Oh, yeah.
But I think much of that zoo is set up for children.
Yeah, yeah, I think so too. It's very family friendly.
It's very educational. Mm-hmm. And because I have issues, you know, I go backwards and forwards on zoos. You know, are they good? Are they bad?
Right.
But, you know, they do help preserve
species.
Yeah. And they educate people. And I think that's the key thing. And this zoo has put a lot of time and effort, not just into the layout and the welfare of the animals, but also into educating us.
And over the last year, they've really had a baby boom there. So there's lots of, I think there's new leopard cubs, tiger cub, I believe. Yes.
He actually went viral on YouTube. A little boy went down there in his tiger costume.
Right.
And his dad posted it on YouTube and it went viral in no time. So, you know, type in tiger and Point Defiance Zoo and you'll see that. But that's really funny because when we were down there, I said to my brother, how come we didn't post our thing on YouTube and go viral? Because I had a big puffy coat on and the tiger was following me with his eyes uh-huh. everywhere I went. And I said to my brother, I think he thinks I'm a polar bear.
Look out, little tiger cub.
Yeah, and then a couple of days later, I saw that on the news. But we had a great time. We went to Redondo Beach and Alki Beach and just, you know, did so much. But you know what it made me realize is there's so much beauty in Washington, which I
absolutely
knew. But you forget when you live here, you take
it's
it for
true.
Granted.
It's true. You do.
And there were so many places we didn't even get to, really. I didn't really get much north of Seattle. We did mostly south, east, west,
mm-hmm.
and that was it. But we had a great time. And I also had a couple of questions from, let me see who this was. It's Maze or Maisie. I'm not quite sure how to pronounce her name. From Lynn, from Carol, and from Joshua, who wanted to know if my brother is single and available. And the answer to that is an emphatic no. He's well married and has been. He's been with the same lady for 35 years, I believe.
Didn't she come along for the trip?
Just logistics, really. Time and this was just going to be a little. She'd had to take separate vacation because of work issues, and then him the same and. And then she was going to come and then she couldn't come. And rather than cancel, he came by himself, which was really cool. So, so that happened.
Sometimes it's nice to have, isn't it? Distance makes the heart grow fonder, that sort of thing. So
they say,
you know, but sometimes it's nice to take a vacation by yourself.
Yeah. And they've got three grandchildren and a grandson and one of the highlights of Colin's he bought a motorbike a couple of years ago. He used to ride a motorbike when he was younger.
Is it a Triumph?
No, it's not a Triumph.
Oh, okay.
I can't remember what it is actually, but it's not a Triumph. But he spent a lot of time collecting, you know, finding the perfect one. He traveled through 5 European countries on it. I mean, it's pretty much a solo gig, you know, riding a motorbike. His wife doesn't like them, but. I took him to the Harley shop down in Fife because we were trying to see if I could rent a bike for him to ride. Unfortunately, they didn't. But I saw this little leather jacket or vest, actually, with Harley Davidson on. And I was like, oh, my gosh, you have to buy this for Josh, his grandson. And
to his wife's chagrin, I'm sure.
And so I'm just waiting for the photographs of Josh in his Harley vest. I can't wait to see it. But we had a great ball, and I'm thanks for inquiring and caring, but we did have a really great time, and it was good to reconnect with him and get him disconnected from his Windows phone for a while. And you are off on a trip shortly. You have a birthday coming up in a couple of days. So tell us what's going on with you.
Well, I'm just going to pop down to Los Angeles for a few days just to get a little warmth and sunshine, celebrate the birthday, and hopefully have some fun.
I think you will. And you're going to spend it with family or friends?
I'm taking my girlfriend, and we're just going to go. Normally on vacations, I go to places that there's tons of stuff to see. Not that Los Angeles doesn't have tons to see, and we will see stuff. But my main thing was just go with no plan and just relax. I wanted to do that for a vacation. So that's what we're going to do, and just kind of maybe visit the beach, kind of hang out, eat some good food.
You're going to go to Muscle Beach down on Venice?
Venice Beach, quite possibly. And maybe Santa Monica as well. Yeah, Santa Monica Pier is a beautiful place.
Yes, it is a nice area. People, if they have not been to California, I think often have misconceptions about it. And, you know, I've heard, well, what is there to see in California? There's loads.
Yeah, it's like Washington in that, you know, there's just tons to see and do. And so we'll just kind of dip our toe into that, but hopefully at not a very rushed pace.
Right. Well, I think we all need that time where we, I could do one of those vacations.
Just want to recharge here for a few days.
Maybe I'll go to Hawaii. I've never been to Hawaii.
You know, neither have I. And that is on the big bucket list, I guess, at some point to get over there. Yeah.
Are you flying down to LA or are you driving?
Flying. Yeah. If we drove it, we wouldn't have time for anything. It'd be 2 days driving, 2 days on the way back. So.
Right. Well, I hope you have fun. And
Thank you.
So this is the ninth. I double checked this, Eric, because I couldn't believe it. But it is the ninth birthday of yours where I've wished you happy birthday. We've been working together that long.
Of them have been extra special just because of that. So thank you.
So do you have a birthday wish list? Well, maybe, you know, you have to share the clean bits.
Right. You know, nothing in particular, just hoping to have fun.
Uh-huh.
That's all.
And you're not going to share how old you are. I'm not going to ask you how old you are because I know you don't like sharing age.
So. I can say I'm going to be 40. So,
oh, yeah. I didn't know it was the big 4-0.
It's the big 4-0.
Oh, my gosh,
yeah.
I would have bought some really rude balloons. And
some over-the-hill cards,
some
that sort of thing. Yes, yes.
Made you wear a weird T-shirt.
Well, I'm glad I didn't mention it till now. Yeah, but it's going to be the big 4-0. So that's why I've taken the trip. Figured, you know, I don't normally do a lot for my birthday because it's just another day, really. But, you know, when you hit one of those milestones, it seems like a good idea to take pause and reflect and celebrate and, you know, try and have some fun.
I think
distract yourself from the fact that you're getting old.
I think any reason to celebrate is a good idea. I seriously do. And I think birthdays are special because, you know, they're kind of unique and, you know, it should be your day and your holiday. So I do hope you have a great time.
Thank you.
And before I leave you today, I just want to say you know, it is Veterans Day today. So quick thank you to our troops and our families, you know, their families who make a lot of sacrifices along the way. It's not always easy for them. And so we thank you for what you do for us. And also want to take a moment just to remember the people in the Philippines. So I'm going to ask Eric just to play a little bit of music at the end of the show here. And I apologize, I forgot to mention this to you, Eric, but I thought it would be nice just to play music a little bit longer so we could just take a few minutes, you know, a minute to just remember the people in the Philippines right now. They're going through a very hard time and things are not good out there. And, you know, I thought when I woke up Sunday morning and I looked at the news, I thought, well, wow, you know, was I grateful for waking up in my nice comfy bed with my nice fluffy duvet this morning and stepping out onto carpet instead of, you know, living in some shelter and people have had their homes destroyed. They've lost family members and loved ones. And so as we play out today, I'd like just to remember, you know, send good thoughts and good wishes, good vibrations, positive energy out to the Philippines. And I want to thank you for being with us today. We will be back next week with an all-new live show. We'll be talking about spiritual stories and a few miracles, I believe, along the way. And if you have any questions on today's show, you can reach me at 800-495-7617, 800-495-7617, or info@conversationslive.net. Thanks for being with us. See you next week. Until then, live well, live strong. Hi, this is Vicky St. Clair. If you have a business, service, or event and would like to deliver your message to a large audience, call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine the spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772.